Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Leviticus, the fourth chapter, Leviticus chapter 4. Let us sing first from Psalter 233, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 233 stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you. portion of God's word which we wish to read is Leviticus chapter 4. But before we read this, we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Leviticus chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish, unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take of from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the 2 kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys it shall he take away. as it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock and all its flesh, and his head with his legs and his inwards and his dung. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp into a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. He hath sinned. It shall be, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood, and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him, and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock, for a sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler had sinned and had done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or of his sin wherein he had sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he had committed, and it shall be forgiven him.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may gather together again in thy long-suffering providence, when thou still sparest the lives of each and every one of us with our children. And thy goodness over us is experienced by each one, when from our side we are so undeserving of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth that thou hast shown unto us. Wilt thou give us a deep impression thereof in this moment, and when we are to gather in thy house of prayer, and when we appear before thy face, and when we may come up to thy holy sanctuary, wilt thou instruct our hearts in this hour in thy great goodness over a sinful people? For we have heard already in these moments of that way that thou hast prepared, even from eternity, that thou may take away the sin and the iniquity which does stand between thee and thy people. Lord, then thou hast fulfilled it in thy time, so that we also may live in those days, wherein the fulfillment may be known. Then we live in a privileged time. We live in a time not only of the bud, but wherein that flower has been opened, wherein we may be given to see the beauty of the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the coming of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, then the truth of thy word that is so plainly set before us and our children, that we may see that what thou hast prophesied, thou hast surely brought to pass. Oh, then there is for us and our children no excuse when we will continue in an unbelieving way as we go over this world, even to the day of our death. Oh, that thou may grant us that life from the dead, that may believe not only with our mind, and not only in a historical way, but wilt thou grant us that true saving faith? Oh, that we also may be as one who has truly offered in the day of the Old Testament, that has come with a burden of iniquity and guilt, that has come with that lamb unto thy courts. Oh, Lord, that thou may open unto us in this hour the blessed meaning of thy holy word, and that it may also be for the comfort and for the instruction of those who can find no way Oh, that thou may give a relief under the burdens which are carried by the power of thy Holy Spirit. When a sin is experienced to be sin, when the separation between thee and the soul that is carried as a burden and as a grief and as guilt over this world. Oh, Lord, that to such ones in this morning, thy word may be food and drink, that the meek might eat and be satisfied. Oh, that there may be young and old together, in whom is born a true sorrow for our sin. Lord, thou knowest what we are when we are still in that state in which we have been born, as the sons and the daughters of our father Adam. Then it is not only his guilt that is imputed unto us, but also the corruption, the pollution of sin, that is inherited by us and by our children, so that we have to say with thy servant, we are conceived and born in sin. Oh, that it may be experienced by each and every one of us, and that also in these weeks wherein we may commemorate the suffering of thy only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into this world as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, and that there may be a need that is born in our hearts for him. That he also may reveal himself unto those that are in great need, that thy word may go open, that there may be eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, that the glory of thee may be experienced and sung of by beginnings here already in this world. Oh, do look upon young and old alike, because each one of us that is bearing our own sin by nature, and then it can be any moment that we are cut off from this life and that we are passing into our eternal home. Lord, then we are so careless by nature, then it is an hour of separation in this day. And it is a day of separation made and given by thee. Oh, could it please thee, soul, to work, that it may be the day of thy good pleasure, wherein thou grantest new life to be born among us, amongst the children, amongst the youth, the fathers and the mothers, the older ones also, in each and every one, whether in married life, in single life, in all the circumstances here below. O Lord, that thou thyself may work from above. Do look upon all the needs of the congregation, all that are not able to gather with us in this day, and that may listen by church telephone or not. Wilt thou remember them in their places, and wilt thou give to all the weak and the afflicted as strength and health as it pleaseth thee, and give us submission under the ways wherein thou dost lead each one of us, each one in that individual way, with the crosses, with the burdens, with in every way wherein thou dost make us to go, and that thy ways may also be sanctified and blessed, while we are still alive upon the face of this world. Wilt thou remember all those that are handicapped and all those that have special needs in this world, that suffer in a special way? Wilt thou be with widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that sorrow? Wilt thou remember thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world, increase their number? And wilt thou give them to feel a Sabbath after Sabbath, that underneath are thine everlasting arms? Also, thy servant that has come from far away to serve in our sister congregation in our midst also in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou be on his right and on his left and give him to feel that thou art near. Thy servant also in our sister congregation that may begin in this morning to take up his labors once again. Lord, that thou may grant him that strength of the body, and that healing that is necessary that he may do his work in the midst of his flock. May it be with thy blessing. Wilt thou send more servants into thy vineyard? Supply for the theological student and all those that instruct him. Oh, do give teaching from above to him and all of us together. Lord, remember us in this hour. Strengthen us for the labors of our hands that thou hast called us unto. And could it please thee to give to us opening in this hour, that thy word may have free course, that the hearts may be opened, that there may be an attendance unto the things that are spoken, and that thy word may find a place in the innermost recesses of our evil and of our sinful hearts. For the comfort of thy children, for the awakening of new ones in Zion, for the coming of thy kingdom, and for the eternal welfare of our souls and the glory of thy name, we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 1 and 2. Forth from thy courts and thy sacred dwelling in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. And what follows, we announce, the Lord willing, for the sake of families, that the sacrament of holy baptism will be administered in the Picture Butte congregation on March the 16th in the morning service. Also, Reverend Verhoef hopes to preach for us this afternoon, and also on this coming Tuesday evening, a prayer service at 7 o'clock p.m. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment, 419-1. And two. Thank you. Beloved congregation, how precious is our blood. Why? Because that is our life. When we will lose our blood, then we will lose our life. We can read in the Bible that the Lord, He has forbidden His people in the Old Testament that they should eat the blood. And why? Because the Lord says that the life that is in the blood. And to whom does that life belong? That life that belongs unto the Lord. Children also of the animals. And the life of that animal that belongs unto the Lord. Therefore, we may not just do as we please. The Lord has given unto that animal that life. And there is a sense in which that life, that spirit, we would say, that living spirit of that animal, and that is returning unto the Lord also in its death. However, we can read in the Lord's word, and that the Lord, He has given, and that life that belongs to Him, of those animals, that He has given that life unto His people, because we read that the Lord says, I have given it to you upon the altar. We heard last week about the altar. That altar that the Lord has commanded His people to make, that was a testimony. That was a testimony that He was willing to receive a substitute. That was, we said, not according to the law. No, then every man according to the law, he had to die for his own sin. But the Lord, in His sovereign good pleasure, who is the maker of the law, He has, in the commanding to build that altar, He has testified unto His people that He was willing to receive for their sin a substitute. And now what do we read? That He speaks also about the blood that is upon the altar. I have given it, that is the blood, to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the souls, for it is the blood which maketh an atonement for the soul. Thus that altar, that is the basis of the entire sacrificial system that the Lord has given in the Old Testament. How is it that the Lord, He is giving the life of that animal for the atonement for the soul of a man? Is that possible, children? Because an animal, he is not a man. And then we always hear that it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to become a man. Why? Because that man had to pay for his own sin. Thus, you are right when you say, actually, that animal cannot die for the sin of a man. That is right. And therefore, that animal, that is a type. That animal, and that is a picture of someone else. And who is that? That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many pictures of him in God's word. There are many representations of Christ in his word, and many representations of him in the ceremonial laws, and many representations of him also in the system of the sacrifices. With the Lord's help, we wish over the next few weeks, in consideration of the suffering, the passion of Christ, to consider together some of these sacrifices and what their meaning is. Then there is, with every representation of Christ, there is a purpose. There is a purpose. Why does Christ represent himself in so many different ways in the Word of God? That is, congregation, that is to reveal himself, to show himself. But in every representation, it is over against a need. It is over against a need. Thus, is there a need? Because there is plenty of matter in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and especially here in the Old Testament, there is plenty of matter for our mind. And then we can be busy with our minds, with all these things, and that is good. But congregation, we hope that not only with our mind, but that there may be a place in our hearts, that we may be given to receive that blessed truth of that holy word of God in the weeks that are to come. The Lord bless his own word. Our text is actually from this chapter, and we will read the last few verses. Leviticus 4, 32 through 35. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. So far the words of our text. The sacrifice of the sin offering. First, we want, as a way of introduction, to ask about its place among the sacrifices, and second, to see the meaning of this sacrifice, the sacrifice of the sin offering. First, its place among the sacrifices, and second, the meaning of this sacrifice. What is, congregation, the first sacrifice that we read of in the Bible? Do you know that, boys and girls? Then we can read that sacrifice that was given already even by the Lord himself, that was even after the first sin has come into the world. We heard of that a little while ago. The Lord himself has clothed our first parents with the skins of that first sacrifice. Thus, we may begin already here with the need. The need. Congregation, our first parents, they have felt something of that need. Adam and Eve, and also their children. We know that Abel has brought his sacrifice unto the Lord. We know that with Cain, that he has brought that sacrifice also, but it was in the way of hypocrisy, because with him there was no need. But then we can read that the sacrifices, they have been brought by a Noah of old. They have been brought by the patriarchs. Thus, the sacrifices, they did not begin with the Mosaic system of sacrifices that we can read of here in this chapter. What was that need that has been felt from the beginning of the world? That was a need, congregation, to worship. That is the way that we have been created. As creatures, to worship. That need that is felt over the whole length and breadth of the world. Because we see men everywhere, although it is with a darkened understanding, then we see men everywhere, they are bowing. Or then they feel something of that which they have been created with. But they are bowing, alas, to the idols. They are bowing to the gods of this world. That is because of the ignorance of our understandings. Thus the Lord, he had to instruct his people how that they must worship him. Thus it is only by revelation. We can find that written in the Word of God. And so we can read it especially in these chapters, how that the Lord has instituted this way of sacrifice for the instruction of his people. What is the meaning of those sacrifices? Well, the common term for those sacrifices, that is korban, or a presentation. That is what a man is doing when he is bringing a sacrifice unto the Lord. And there are a number of different meanings that are brought out by these sacrifices. There were four main sacrifices which were commanded by the Lord to the children of Israel. Boys and girls, listen, and you will try to remember them, won't you? There is first the sin offering and the trespass offering. We hope to hear about the sin offering today, and next week, the Lord willing, about the trespass offering. Thus, we have the sin and the trespass offering. In the third place, we have the whole burnt offering. And finally, we have the peace offering. Then there were also some others. There was the meat offering. There was the red heifer offering. We will hear something also about them, the Lord willing. But then each of these, they have a meaning. And in the first place, we can speak about substitution. We heard already something about substitution. And that is for the forgiveness of sin, that is for expiation, that is coming out especially in the sacrifices of the sin offering and the trespass offering. In the second place, there is the meaning of dedication, because when a sacrifice was brought, then it was necessary to bring that sacrifice of your own herd, of your own flock. David said to Araunah that he would not bring a sacrifice that he had given nothing for. Thus, that dedication, that is especially seen in the whole burnt offering. Then there is the meaning in the sacrifices of communion, and that is especially brought out in the peace offering. And so we have those four sacrifices, but then there is also the meat offering, and that is speaking about thanksgiving, that is speaking about praise. And then we have also the idea of purification, and that is brought out especially in the sacrifice of the red heifer. Thus, we have a number of different thoughts and ideas that the Lord is encompassing by those sacrifices that he has commanded unto the children of Israel. Those sacrifices, they can be also divided in several different ways. There are the bloody sacrifices and the unbloody, the non-bloody sacrifices. So the first, the main four sacrifices, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the whole burnt offering, the peace offering, those four sacrifices, they are bloody sacrifices. But the meat offerings, that was unbloody, that was consisting of food and drink. Sometimes the sacrifices, they are distinguished between a sweet savor sacrifice and a non-sweet savor sacrifice. Thus, the whole burnt offering that was a sacrifice that was especially a sweet savor unto the Lord. That is speaking about the dedication of a man, yes, in a special way the dedication of the man, that is that dedication of Christ himself, that is a sweet savor unto the Lord. But then, for the most part, that sin offering that was presenting the Lord Jesus as one who was carrying the sin of his people, and that was considered to be a non-sweet savor sacrifice. Then those sacrifices, they can also be divided into what are holy and what are most holy. That is, certain of the sacrifices of the meat offering, the sin, the trespass, and the whole burnt offerings, certain of them were considered to be sacrifices the Bible calls most holy. The most holy sacrifices, and they were slain on the north side of the altar. And those that we would say they are the less holy ones, they were slain on the south side or on the east side of the altar. The most holy sacrifices were sacrifices that were not eaten. They were not partaken of. The most holy sacrifices, the blood that was brought into the more holy places, into the holy place, and even into sometimes the holy of holies. The most holy sacrifices, the skins belonged to the priests. Otherwise, the skins, they belonged unto the offerer. That gives us instruction. And what is that instruction? There is a difference. The Lord makes a difference in sin. Every sin that is against a holy God, in that sense, there is no difference. And yet, congregation, there is a difference, because we read in God's word that there are sins for which a man will receive few stripes. And there are sins for which a man will receive many stripes. Those sins which are the greatest are those that are performed with the most knowledge. Thus, we can say in our mind that outside of the church, they are those that are sinners. The congregation, the greatest sins, they are committed by those within the pale of God's church. That is who the Lord says shall receive the greatest stripes, because those are they that do sin against that better knowledge. You may not do children the same as the boys and girls who do not know better. No, for you, that is a much greater sin than it is for them, because you have a forehead that is baptized, and you have a knowledge in your mind to be that you are brought up under the truth. It is, of course, of the greatest importance to consider the animals that were sacrificed, because those animals, they were a representation. And therefore, those animals were highly regulated by the Lord. They may not just bring anything for a sacrifice. No, then it had to be oxen or sheep or goats, or a turtle dove, or a young pigeon if you were poor, or if they were for lesser sins. And why is it that the Lord is regulating those animals? Because those animals, they are a representation. They are a representation of whom, children? Of the Lord Jesus. And that representation, that must be a right representation. Therefore, it is the Lord who gives that representation to teach us who He is. How can God's children receive the comfort that the Lord gives to them in His Word when that representation is not a right representation? Those animals, they must be of the clean animals. They must not be of the camels or the asses or the pigs. Those animals, they must be animals that are without blemish. And that is all pointing to the holiness and the perfectness of the anti-type whom those animals are representing. And it is in the vigor of His strength that is upheld by that divine nature that He is going forth to bear that burden of sin concerning His own church. Of all those sacrifices, that sin offering, that was the most important. When a burnt offering would be brought, and then it may never be brought without first a sin offering. And why not? We see that in our second thought, the meaning of this sacrifice. The burnt offering and the peace offering, they were offerings that assumed a good relation. A good relation between the offerer and the Lord. We hope to hear more about that, the Lord willing. But the Lord does not teach His people, even though they are within the outward covenant, the Lord does not teach His people that they are by nature in a good relation to Him. No, congregation, it is just the opposite. This was not the command, these sacrifices for the heathen, but it was the command of the Lord unto His own children. To be born within that pale of the church, that is a great privilege, that is a great responsibility also. But to be born within the pale of the church, that is not saving. Thus, let us never deceive ourselves. It is not regeneration. The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord." Joshua said, you cannot serve the Lord. And why can you not serve the Lord? Because the Lord, he is a holy God. Well, that is the covenant people, yes. But it is an unholy people. Thus, how many wish to speak about worshiping the Lord? But congregation, worshiping the Lord in that right way wherein we are created to worship him, that presumes a good relation. And we are not in a good relation. How can the Lord receive our worship when there is not even a good relation that is between us, when we are in the state of rebellion? No, the Lord says, first there must come a sin offering. Thus, that sin offering that is implying that there is a disturbed relation. Do you ever feel that? That there is a disturbed relation. What is the purpose of that sin offering? The sin offering that is for expiation. What does that mean? That means to cover. To cover. To cover what? To cover our sin? Congregation, Solomon says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. No, we can be sure that we can try to cover our sin. But we can be sure that our sin that will eventually find us out. Sometimes we read in the Bible, David says, my sin is covered. Actually, that it is speaking about the covering of the person. It is the covering of the offerer. It is the covering of his soul. The covering of that soul in the sight of a holy and of a righteous God. That is the purpose of that sin offering. That sin offering that is there to take away that which has the power to come between that soul and God. That sin offering that is there to take away that which has the power to interrupt that relation, that good relation between the Lord and his creature. And what has the Lord given for this? He has given the blood for this. That is what we heard. I have given it, that is the blood, to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul that is in the blood. Thus, that soul of that animal that is received in the place of that animal, no, of the antitype. Of that animal, whom that animal is pointing unto. Thus, that blood that is covering from wrath, that is covering from anger, that is covering from the displeasure of the Lord. That is not only that it is an expiation, but that it is also a propitiation. What is that? What is a propitiation? That is, congregation, an appeasement. An appeasement. Jacob, when he thought that Esau was angry, then he sent him a gift. And what did he say? He said, I will with this gift appease him. And then he says, I will see his face. That is, afterward. So first Jacob understood that there must be an appeasement. And after that appeasement, then it was possible to see the face of his brother Esau. That is just what we read here in the Word of God. That before that burnt offering, there must come that sin offering. Because that sin offering, that is an appeasement. An appeasement. Moses also tried to appease the wrath of God against his people. Do you remember what he asked the Lord, boys and girls? He said, Lord, when they had sinned against the Lord in that golden calf, and the Lord's anger waxed hot against that people, then Moses said to the Lord, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. That is, Moses attempted to appease the anger of the Lord. Was that acceptable? No. No. Moses could not appease it. And the Lord had to instruct Moses and the children of Israel what was able to make this appeasement. And that instruction has come in that sin offering. For what kind of sin is that sin offering? Because there is obviously a difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering. The trespass offering, that is now for next time. But overall, that sin offering, that is more general. The trespass offering, that is more specific for a single transgression. But that sin offering, that is more general. Sin, that is not all the same. There are different aspects unto sin. And the sin and the trespass offering, they are acknowledging that there are different aspects to sin. When we would look up that word sin in the Word of God, then we will find that there are different Hebrew or Greek words that are pointing to sin, that are being translated as the word sin, and that are actually have different meanings. When we read about the sin offering, then we read the Hebrew word shatah. That is a word that is meaning that a person is missing the mark. That is not then speaking only necessarily about a single transgression that can be, but more that is speaking about the entire person himself. That he is missing the mark. That it is pointing to that person who is in himself a sinful person in his being. That because of his very nature, that he is missing the mark. Thus, that is pointing to this fact that we are not sinners because we sin, but that we sin because we are sinners. That is, that as we are born in this world, there is nothing else that we can do because it is the whole of our existence to live and to enjoy sin. That is the idea that is being portrayed by that sin offering, what a very solemn service that was. When a sinner has brought his sin offering unto the Lord. Then when he has chosen that animal, and there are differences there too, but we have not time for everything. Then he had to lay his hand, we read, on the head of that animal. And then it was not just to lightly lay his hand there, but he had to, with all his weight, push down on the head of that animal that had, of course, a very significant meaning. When he is laying his hand upon that animal, then he is also at the same time making a confession. At the same time, he is making a supplication that he is praying unto the Lord. That laying on of those hands, that is always the way the laying on of hands is, that means that there is a transmission of something, whether it is for a blessing. But here that is speaking about the transmission of sin. So that offerer, and then he is coming with a confession of his sin. And he is, as it were, transmitting the sin of his existence, the sin of his nature, unto this animal. And at the same time, then he is imploring the Lord that the Lord would take away that sin from himself. Thus, that sin that is transmitted, no, not in a real way, of course, but in what we call a forensic way, in a judicial way. That means that according to the law, then that sin that is now laying on this animal, that is the substitutionary character, of course, coming once again out into the foreground. What does Isaiah say about the antitype? He says, surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. When that sinner, he has laid his hands upon that animal, and then that animal is slain. That is, not by the priest, when it is for an individual, but that animal that is slain by that individual himself. And that is a testimony that the wages of sin, that is death, because that sin that has been translated to that animal, and now he sees that animal, that he must die. But congregation, it is not enough. It is not enough, because the very center of the sin offering that did not lay in the slaying of an animal, but it lay in the manipulation of the blood. The death of that animal was only representing what that sinful man deserved. But the death of that animal, that was not in and of itself an atonement for the sin of that man. What do we read? The atonement is in the blood upon the altar. Why? Because the soul of that animal that belonged unto God, the spirit, the life of that animal that belonged to God. And it was the good pleasure of the Lord to give the life of that animal unto his children. And therefore it is the blood of that animal that is now necessary once that animal is slain to, as it were, set that blood before the face of the Lord and to say, Lord, thou hast said that thou hast given the blood. And now here that blood is. It is a presentation. Thus, there was an atonement for sin when that blood that came into contact with that altar. That was not done by the offerer. When that animal was slain, then that priest, he is now taking everything over. And that priest, he is a picture of the mediation. The mediation between God and the soul of that sinner. And he now had to take that blood. And that blood, as soon as it touched the altar, then by the good pleasure of God, in a judicial way, the sin of that man received an atonement. Most of the time, that blood was placed by the priest, sprinkled upon or smeared upon the four horns that were upon the brazen altar. But there was a difference, because if it was the sin, for example, of the high priest, or the sin of the whole congregation for which that offering was brought, then we read that it is an offering that is most holy. And that blood is going by the priest to be sprinkled before the veil, which is in the tabernacle of the Lord. It is not the same if we are sinning against the Lord as a common person or as an office bearer. That is not the same. No, the sin of that office bearer that is dealt with in the same way as if the whole congregation together had sinned against the Lord, because he is standing in representation of the people. And then there was that one day on the great day of atonement that sin, that blood of that sin offering was going even further, and that high priest was taking that blood into that holy of holies to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat on the ark of the Lord. And finally, after that blood is sprinkled, something had to happen unto that animal. That animal that was already slain, and that sin that is laying on that animal. And we read, then there were certain parts, the fat and the kidneys, they were taken off, and they were burned upon the altar of burnt offering. That was a type of the purification from the dross of sin. And now if it was for the congregation or for the high priest, the remaining parts were taken to that clean place without the camp, where the ashes were always poured from the altar of burnt offering. And there they were burned without the camp. And if it is a sin of an individual, then that offering, the flesh that was eaten by the priests. Why? You say, well, that was their sustenance. That is in a certain way right. But that was not the reason. The Bible says it is because that the priest was to bear the iniquity of the people. Thus, that sacrifice upon which the sin is transferred that is eaten by the priest, so that he may bear the iniquity of the congregation. Oh, congregation, how Christ, he had meat to eat, he said, that ye know not of, to his disciples. Meat to eat. He is that altar. He is that sacrifice. He is that priest. All together, so many pictures. But what is now the prophet for us? Let us sing first. 364. From out the depths I cry to thee. Oh, let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of 364. Thank you. Congregation, the Apostle Paul says that the law that had a shadow of good things to come. How many good things and may be shadowed forth by this blessed law. Also, the law of the sin offering in the Old Testament dispensation. For whom? For what kind of sin was this sin offering? We read here, if a soul sinneth through ignorance. Through ignorance. What is that? That is through lack of knowledge. We would say, well, he did not know, maybe, that it was a sin. That is true, but that is not all, because the word in the original does not just point to ignorance as we know it, but it is actually speaking about the sins of error. That means if a man errs, if a man errs, that is, not only that he did not know it, perhaps, but through carelessness. That means that it is through the weakness of his flesh that he errs through the sinfulness of his nature. That sin of error that is opposed to sinning, what we read, with a high hand. That means that a man that he knows very well what he is doing and that he is acting in rebellion against the Lord and going on in his sin. There was for them no sacrifice. When a man had sinned in such a way, that was the Old Testament representation of the unforgivable sin. Because the Lord Jesus says in the New Testament that all manner of sin shall be forgiven unto men, except for that sin which is against the Holy Ghost. The sin offering for whom was that? Well, it is the Shatah offering. It is the offering, congregation, for those who miss the mark. It is the offering for those with a sinful nature. It is the offering for a sinful being, for a sinful existence. Next week, the Lord willing, the trespass offering, but congregation, is there now a people in our midst who have a sinful existence? Because our transgression that is seen by our neighbors, but our sinful existence is something that is experienced within our own heart. To miss the mark. Are there those among us that go over the world missing the mark? What does that mean, to miss the mark? That means to be a child of Adam, as he has fallen away from God. To miss the mark, that is to be without God in the world. That is to be apart from him. Oh, how God's children themselves, they can leave him so often in his place. Oh, to miss the mark, what is it? That is to miss our purpose. The reason wherefore that we have been created. That is that we may worship him. That we may serve him with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength. to miss the mark that is to be of the earth earthy, to miss the mark that is to be just vanity, to be just emptiness, that we completely miss what the Lord is commanding us to do in His holy word. To miss the mark, that means that my whole life that is nothing but in error, that my whole life that is wrong, to miss the mark, that means that I have wandered from the right path and that I am always walking in the wrong path, that I have chosen that broad way. To miss the mark, that is to lie in death when the Lord has created us to live. Probably the conscience of everyone that speaks. Because we know, young people, our life that is not right. We know that our heart that is not right, because we are brought up under the truth. But I ask you one more question. Do you not only know that you missed the mark, but do you also grieve because you missed the mark? Because there is a difference, a great difference, between knowing it in our conscience and grieving over it in our heart. Do you know what the Lord says in His word? That it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Oh, did it ever break your hard and sinful heart? If it is our grief, then we try to change it. Do you try to change it? That vain heart? Do you try to change it so that your treasure would be in heaven and not on the earth? Do you try to make it right? Do you try to make the purpose, the motive of your heart, again what it was when the Lord has created you? Because when a man brought a sin offering, then it had to be in the way of true repentance, or it was not acceptable unto the Lord. Or do we try to change that we may hit the mark, and that we may not miss that mark anymore? Congregation, how does it then go with you? Those of you who labor, that you may also hit the mark, that you may also serve Him with all your heart and all your might and all your strength. How does it go? Does that not go so good? Are you able to make that change? No, the Bible does not say that we are able to make that change. It says we ought to make it. But not that we are able to make it. There is a great difference between our responsibility and our ability. No, the Bible talks about something else. The Bible talks about a broken covenant. The Bible talks about death, the state of death. And therefore, what is commanded by the Lord? That is, that people that miss the mark, that they bring a sin offering. Are there those that miss the mark? Can you not make a change in that? Then the Lord commands the bringing of a sin offering. All that is that Savior without spot, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That Lamb without blemish for a sin offering, for a shatah offering, for a missing of the mark offering. What are the people commanded to do? They are commanded to bring that lamb. A congregation that speaks about the appropriation of faith. When the Lord is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When the Lord is saying, let him that is athirst come, and let him take of the waters of life freely, let him bring that lamb. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering. Or he shall lay it there with all his weight, that all his sin, that all his iniquity, that may be laid upon that lamb. O congregation, he is able to bear it. He is willing to bear it. He was sent to bear it. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering. And there he shall confess that I cannot bear my own sin. There he shall confess what his desire is, that he may come back again, the separation may be taken away, that the Lord may be appeased, that he may enter again into that blessed communion by the making right of that relation between God and his soul. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering. And he shall slay it. He shall slay it. Or what is it? It is the blessed appropriation by a true saving faith of a man who has come to the end of all of his own efforts, who has come to the end of his own life, because of the sinfulness of his existence, because of the sinfulness of his nature. A man that does not know it anymore, that does not know what to do anymore, that must die, that cannot die, that is at his wit's end, who falls down when there is none to help, who is lying at the gates of death, when that hell-deserving sinner, when he is privileged to take hold in that moment of appropriating faith, to take hold of that lamb, and when he may agree what the Lord is revealing in his word is his own will, when he may agree that that lamb may be slain in his place. In his place. When he may be given to fall under this. When he may be given to receive this out of the hand of the Lord. That is not what we receive from ourselves by that first covenant. We are enemies of it. But when the Lord is breaking us down so far that we do not know it anymore, then congregation, here is where the Lord is bringing his children that they may lay all their case upon the head of that lamb. And that lamb may be slain. And in that moment, oh, then it ceases. Oh, congregation, in that moment, there is so much blessedness. Why? Because in that moment, then it is taken over. The priest takes that over. They have to do nothing because the priest now takes everything over. And he is taking that blood and he is smearing it for that man upon the horns of that altar, bringing it before the face of God, who has said that it is his will to receive that blood in the place of those who miss the mark. And then that people, they may only see, and they may only look, they may only behold, they may only wonder, they may only rejoice in the blessed work of that priest. What do we read? And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant thou us the need. Oh, give us the need, because in thy word we can read of that way that sin can be atoned for. And then it is preached to each and every one of us, so that there is none excluded. But when there is no need, then we cast it away. Then we go on with a hard heart under all the callings, under all the invitations, under all thy goodness, under all thy grace, and then to be beaten with many stripes. O Lord, begin with us. Make him precious who has come to give himself even unto death. Bring us safely to our homes. Bring us with desire in thy house. Help thy servant. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 310, 2, 4, and 6. Brought nigh to death and full of grief, the Lord's salvation I besought. He heard my cry. He sent relief, my soul from depths of woe he brought. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 310. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.